Blog Talk Radio.
You are now tuning in to Wellness and Faith with Sherry Weary, where we question, explore, love, support, encourage, and make spiritual wellness a priority. So get ready to exercise your faith.
Good evening. Hello to each and every one of you. Welcome to Wellness and Faith with Sherry Weary. I'm your host, and I'm excited to have you join me tonight as we make spiritual wellness a priority. So for tonight, we'll discuss our new hashtag moment for the month. The hashtag for the month of April is I Am. We'll begin our series, or continue with our series, with discussing the miracles of Jesus that are found in the New Testament during our segment titled To Believe or Not to Believe. Then we'll go into a Let's Be Real, where I'll be making a confession tonight, and my confession this week is that I have questioned the will of God. We'll then go into our main topic of the show, where we will be discussing identity, and then we'll end with our dose of spiritual wellness, and I'll give final greetings and give my farewell to you until next week. Remember that you can interact with me before, after, and during the show on social media with the hashtags I Am, Let's Be Real, Wellness and Faith, or any other hashtag that you come up with. Just be sure to tag me at Weary Consult. You are also more than welcome to call into the show live with questions or comments. If you would like to call into the show, you can dial 347-850-1154. If you need that number again later on in the show, you can actually click on the slideshow there on the website, and you'll be able to see that phone number to be able to call in. So let's go right into our hashtag moment. So the hashtag moment is a point in the show where I discuss a topic that's related to my monthly blog, and we post on social media with that particular hashtag. I am a guest contributor for RF Counseling and Wellness Center blog, which can be found at radiantsunshine.org. My latest blog titled I Am and my blog titled What Are You Feeding Your Soul is available, so you want to go check that out and give me, you know, your thoughts on it as well. So once again, the hashtag for the month of April is I Am, so feel free to post on that and tag me at Weary Consult. So here's our discussion related to our hashtag moment of I Am. In order to be spiritually well, you must know who you are, and you must be able to say to yourself that I am loved. So the benefits of love are far-reaching and too many for us to really go into tonight, so I'm just going to name a few. But one thing that everyone can agree in that's listening to the show is that love feels great, whether it's love from a family member or a friend or a spouse or a significant other. When someone truly loves you and they appreciate you, it makes you feel good about yourself. It gives you a different outlook on life. It makes you more positive. It also, you know, gives you this capacity to be able to dream and to see more and to desire more. Love also empowers. Love strengthens. Love also corrects. Love guides and it leads, and it also gives direction. It gives wisdom. There's so many things that true love offers. And there's a common, you know, cliche that we would hear that love hurts. But to be quite honest, I'm not really sure if I can completely agree with that. I mean, on one hand, if you look at it from the spiritual aspect and you look at the work that Jesus did for us on the cross, Jesus did suffer a lot because he loved us. But when it comes to our relationships with those that we interact with, I think that it's really important to understand the importance of taking care of yourself even as you're sacrificing. I know I had a discussion with someone a few weeks about that, about talking about the importance of not only loving others and being able to sacrifice and to give and to be there for them, but also making sure that you're taking care of yourself as well. So the benefits of love are just far unreaching. But we want to specifically talk about the love of God and the benefit of having his love and accepting his love. So the first thing that, you know, we can say about God's love is that it is unconditional. There are people who believe in God and those who don't, who believe in the teachings of the Bible and those who don't. But even for those that don't really agree with everything that's in the Bible, the one thing that a lot of people will use, even if they're coming against, let's say, someone who's a Christian who's, you know, pushing an agenda that they don't necessarily agree with, they'll say, well, God is love, and that's not love. So, you know, regardless of that, one of the things that we can typically agree about is that God is known for his love. And the benefits of God's love is just so amazing because his love is unconditional. We even look at the demonstration of God's love for us. Is that, one, I believe that God's love started when he created us, when he created men and women, because, one, God had the infinite possibility to be able to create anything and everything that he wanted. And here it is, you see in Genesis, in a creation story, that God desired to have something that looked and reflected like him. And in that desire, he then created men and women. And so we are created in the image of God. And so you have that demonstration of love where then God desired to have a relationship with Adam and Eve. And so he came and he fellowshiped with them on a daily basis in the evening. And so he would come, he would talk with them, he would spend time with them, and he did this on a daily basis. So even that is love. You know, when you really love something and you love someone, you spend time with them. There is nothing that can separate you from that thing or that person for a ridiculous amount of time where then maybe that person or thing may begin to question your love. Whatever you can do to make sure that the person loves you, you're going to make sure you do that. So let's say, for instance, if you're on a, you know, business trip for your job, you're going to make sure that you talk to your family members or your significant others and make sure that certain accommodations are there. Or let's say that you're in the military and you are, you know, on a special mission where you're deployed, you know, somewhere either across the country or even across the world. You're still going to make sure that whatever you're able to keep in contact with the person that you care about or the people that you care about, you're going to do that. So you make accommodations in order to show appreciation and care for someone. And so when you look at even God, God makes accommodations on our behalf. And one of the biggest accommodations that he made is by giving us another chance to experience life. And he did that by sacrificing his son. You know, with John 3:16, it's a verse that is very well known, and it says that for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever will believe on him will not perish, but will have everlasting life. And so here it is, you see that God loved creation so much that he did not want creation to not have another a chance, a redemption. And so here it is, he gives something that is so precious to him. And that's just an awesome, awesome demonstration of love on so many levels. Because I can tell you that me personally, if I have someone who is in my life and they are not appreciating what I am doing for them and they're not appreciating the sacrifices that I made, it's going to be really hard for me to now then give them something that's even more valuable than what I'm already doing. Like if they're already not appreciating my time, it's going to be difficult to give more time. It's going to be difficult to give them my resources, and that's because I'm human, you know. But the awesome thing about God is that despite creation and us not really living up to the expectations that God had for us and the purpose of our original creation, is that God cared enough to give us an opportunity for redemption, and he gave one of the most valuable assets that he had, his most valuable resource, which is his son. And so he sent his son down here who was blameless, who was innocent, who was perfect, in order to take our place, in order to, you know, give us another chance to live again. And so if you see that God does that and that we're not perfect, even in knowing that we would still miss the mark and knowing we would still do things that were not, you know, what he created us for, and knowing that there are times that we would walk outside of the direction that he has set for our lives, is that God still loves us. And that's one of the things that's so important, you know, for us to realize, is that there is nothing that you can do that can separate you from the love of God. Are there things that we can do that God is not pleased with? Absolutely. Are there things that we can do in our lives that will require consequences, that will require correction? Absolutely, because God is a father and he loves us. Love also corrects. I did start off with that at the beginning of our segment, is that with true love is not always positive in the sense that you never have correction. You know, true love is not always easy. True love does have its difficult moments where you have to give a hard truth, where you have to you know, give instructions or give wisdom or give advice, or even show actions that may be difficult for the person to understand. And with doing that, you're doing that for the betterment of the person. So when I'm talking about those things, I'm not in any way encouraging abuse. I'm not encouraging neglect or abandon, because that's not love. If you're not doing those actions, or if you're not saying the things and out of true care and concern for the person, and you're doing it so that the person can then be better afterwards, then that's not love. At least that's not a love that, you know, someone should be receiving, and it's not a love that you really should accept. You deserve to have true love that builds you up, that strengthens you, and that makes you better as a result. And so when we look at the love of God, that's what the purpose of love, His love is. His love is there in order to strengthen us, to make us better, to care for us, to mature us, to grow us, to give us peace, and to comfort us. And so you look and you see a God, He knows everything. He sees everything. He knows everything from the beginning to the ending. He knows what you did 20 years ago that you've never even told anyone ever in life. He even knows the things that you don't even know about yourself. He knows the things that you have yet to mess up in. He knows the things that, you know, you have yet to succeed in. He knows it all, and yet and still, God loves us. And He loves us, and He wants us also to love ourselves as well. And so that's so important for you to realize on today, is that you are loved. Despite what others have said to you, despite how others have mistreated you, despite what people have said that you're not worthy of, you have to know that you are loved. God created you with love. God is here to give you love. God wants you to experience the abundant love that He has, and He wants you to love yourself and to love yourself for the purpose that He created we with. Every single person that is alive and that is breathing, there's a specific purpose that you are to achieve before you leave this earth. And so in knowing that you are created with purpose, and knowing that you are created with value, and knowing that you are created with a specific intent from a God who was amazing and wonderful and awesome, and who could have chosen to create anything or anyone else, God chose and purposed you. So with knowing that, that's why you can say that I am love, and you should also love yourself. So what are some practical applications of showing that you love yourself and also accepting the love that God has for you? One would be making daily affirmations, even just making the affirmation of those three words, I am loved, looking in the mirror each and every day, or even several times a day when you encounter situations that make you question your love and your value, you can remind yourself that you are loved. Despite if others don't see your value, despite if others tell you otherwise, it doesn't matter, because there is nothing in this world. There is no action, there is no behavior, there is no person, there is no title, there is no power, there is no mistake or success that could ever separate you from the love of God. So when it comes to our spiritual wellness, we can't afford to not love ourselves, and we also can't afford to abandon the love that God has for us. So on today and each and every day, make the declaration that I am loved. With our next segment, which is To Believe or Not to Believe, this is a segment where I strongly encourage you to call into the show. I would love for you to interact with me live and to have an awesome discussion here on air. If you would like to be part of the discussion, you can dial in to the show by dialing 347-850-1154, and you can join the discussion of us talking about the miracle of Jesus where He heals the nobleman's son. So if you need that number again, you can go ahead and look at the show website and call in live. I would love to have you here on the show. So with this particular story that we have where Jesus heals the nobleman's son, we can find this in the Gospel of John in chapter 4, verses 46 through 54. And so with looking at this particular event, the main players in the in this particular story is the nobleman, his servants, his son, and then Jesus. And so we're not really sure at this point, like, what exactly had befallen, you know, the son to cause him to be sick. But the one thing that we know is that it had caused him to be very ill. And so, of course, of being a father and not wanting to lose his son, he comes to a person that he believes can help him, and that person is Jesus. And so he's going to Jesus more than likely because he probably has heard of the previous miracle that Jesus had performed where he turned the water into wine. And we actually talked about that on our show on last week. And so this event actually takes place not too long after it. And so he goes to Jesus because he is desperate because he wants his son to be well. And so here it is, as he's talking to Jesus, he's asking him to come to his house so that he can actually heal his son. And he says unto him that if he doesn't come, the nobleman says to Jesus that if he don't come, that his child will die. And so Jesus responds to him, and he tells him to go, you know, you can go back home. Your son is alive. And what's so interesting about this moment is that the father comes to Jesus in a time of desperation. His son is ill. He's afraid that his son is going to die. And he comes to Jesus, and this is probably in his mind thinking, like, if this is my last resort, if Jesus won't come back to my house with me, I know that my son is not going to make it. And what's interesting is looking at Jesus' response, where even in this man's moment of desperation, Jesus doesn't rush to the man's house. He actually just speaks a word, letting the man know that his son is alive, that his son is well. And what's so amazing about the nobleman's faith is that it immediately kicked in, and he went back on his way to travel back home. So when you look back down at the other verses, it says he goes home and he's talking to his servant. And while he's talking to his servants, they let him know that his son is alive. And so when he asked them when did all this occur, the servants were able to give him the time where it actually coincided with the same time that Jesus had spoke the word, was saying that their son is alive. And so that's when the father was able to now affirm the faith that he had when Jesus spoke the word that his son was alive, that his son even, and he believed, and so did everyone else that was there in the household as well. And so you see this awesome healing miracle where the father had to step out or step beyond his desperation and step into a place of faith and believe that just at Jesus' word that all was going to be well with his son. And then he had to go and travel back in order to get the confirmation of that. And with seeing his son well and having his servants be able to tell him that, yes, everything is great, this is what time it happened, his faith was now even greater, and he believed the more in the miraculous healing power of Jesus. And so I wholeheartedly believe in this account of Jesus healing the son and being able to just speak one word, speak a sentence rather, speak a whole sentence, and now this man's situation completely turns around. And me personally, I actually have experienced the healing of God physically, you know, almost 4 years ago. I actually had a back injury and was going through a lot of pain, had a couple of procedures done, was walking on a cane, was scheduled to have hip surgery, and just with attending church one Sunday, I had a moment where God healed my body, and it was such an amazing experience. And maybe one of the later shows I'll be able to go into more details with that. But even before that experience with my own personal life of experiencing the personal, like the healing power of God, I believe before then, but the one thing I can tell you is that after having that personal experience, that personal encounter with the healing power of Jesus, is that my belief in the healing power of God just definitely increases so much more, where it's like now my faith is able to go to another level and believing that God is able to do the impossible. He's able to do things that we think are not even able to be done, or even when we think our situation is absolutely hopeless and that it just can't turn around, all it takes is just one word, one moment for Jesus to speak something different into your life, and it can be changed. So what about you? Have you chosen to believe or not to believe? Once again, you can call into the show. You can also contact me on social media with your thoughts, and I would love to hear from you. So we're going to go into our next segment, which is titled Let's Be Real. So this is a segment of the show where I make a weekly confession, where I am transparent and I admit my mistakes, my shortcomings, areas where I've had to grow in, and the process and the progress that I have made as well. And the purpose of this segment is to provide an example of what I believe we need more of from people of faith, and that is people being real. So let's be real. So my confession this week is that I have questioned the will of God. And that may be surprising to some, it may not be surprising to others, but quite honestly, there have been times that I have questioned God's will in my life. I have questioned what he has permitted and allowed to happen, and I have questioned even what he has called me to do. I'm a licensed minister. I was actually licensed 6 years ago now, which seems just so crazy to be able to say that it's been that long as well. But I can tell you that even before going through the process and training of being licensed is that I ran from my calling. I actually received my calling in my early 20s. I remember, you know, the night where I was in service at my home church in Cleveland, and when God spoke to me in that moment, I was like, what in the world is happening? Are you serious? Like, I could not believe that God would call me to preach the gospel. And so in that moment, it was really overwhelming. It was amazing, but more overwhelming and really terrifying. And so for the next few years, I was then running away from that calling because I was afraid of what would happen and what people would think of me and if I would be successful and, you know, just the different responsibilities and the weight that comes with being a preacher of the gospel. Because contrary to what some people believe, it is not all glitz and glamour. When you really take that calling seriously, or any calling in your life, because anything that God calls you to is important. I know sometimes in, you know, the faith world, we can really put special emphasis on those who sing or those who preach or who are pastors. But really, every single gift is needed, and every single thing that God anoints you to do is necessary for the building of the church and also to the ministry, you know, even outside of the church as well, and really ministering and aiding those who are in need and showing the love of God in very practical ways. So it's not that being a preacher is more important than anything else that God will call you to do. But going back to that, I really questioned God's purpose in calling me to be in the minister and just wondered, like, why me? Like, why couldn't I have something that was more, like, in the background, you know? Or even singing. Like, I was like, okay, God, like, give me a voice to sing. But that's not what, you know, I am blessed with. I am part of the, I've always been part of choirs, like, in my church, and I do enjoy being part of the choir, but not a soloist by any means. That's not the calling that God has on my life. And besides even being, like, a minister and just other things that God has purposed for my life to do, it's the things that God has aligned my life with when it comes to being in the center of his will. A lot of things look a lot different than what I originally planned for myself. But the one thing that I can tell you is that as I continue to grow in God, as I continue to allow him to mature me and really seek to find understanding in his will, because even the Bible says that, you know, our ways for my thoughts are not our thoughts are not God's thoughts, that our ways are not his ways, and that just as the heavens is higher than our earth, that his ways and his thoughts are higher than ours. And so as I learn to truly embrace that, I am finding satisfaction in actually trusting the will of God and obeying that instead of running from that. I can tell you that there is a lot more willingness to move forward when God speaks to me and calls me to do certain things as opposed to a few years ago where I was running from being up front, running from having specific assignments and, you know, specific tasks that I was called to do. But in learning to obey and to accept the will of God is that I'm seeing how it's truly perfect and that his will, even when I don't understand, even when it allows things that I don't like, it's that it still works for a greater purpose. And I really am thankful that I've gotten to the point in my relationship with God where I can start to see how things are working for my good. My favorite scripture is Romans 8:28, where it says that all things work together for good to them that love God and are called according to his purpose. And so I am so grateful how that scripture continues to manifest in my life, and that as I love to learn to love God more, as I learn to answer his purpose in my life, even when he calls me to do things that I didn't think I would be good at, or when he calls me to do things that I really don't want to do because that's just not my desire, that's not my plan, when I wanted to go one way and God called me to go another direction, I am thankful that now I'm at my place in my relationship with God where I'm able to see that those desires that I had really were not best for me at that time. It wasn't in my absolute best interest in the long term. And not that the desires were bad. It's not that I wanted to be part of, you know, some horrible crazy criminal ring or something of that nature. But, you know, in just having specific plans and things that I wanted to do, I'm thankful that God blocked some of those things. I'm thankful that there were some opportunities that God didn't allow to happen because it just really wasn't in my best interest. It wasn't what I needed at that time. And who knows if I would be where I am today if God had allowed me to walk into certain opportunities that I was on my way to walking into, or even with certain relationships, how certain relationships haven't worked out, friendships and romantic relationships. I am thankful that God's perfect will has overseeded or overtaken even my own will, and that God is in complete control of my life. So even though there has been times that I have questioned the will of God, I am thankful for the opportunity to be able to grow and to grow in faith. I'm thankful that I'm able to learn more and more of what it means to truly trust God, even when I don't understand. And I'm thankful that as I continue to trust Him, that the understanding does come, and I'm able to see that God's perfect will truly is what's best for my life. At this point in the show, we're going to pause for our commercial break. We're going to hear our wellness moment from Sharia Farmer, who is the owner of the RS Counseling and Wellness Center, and we'll be back in a moment.
Today's wellness moment is something that I just absolutely love, which is music. Anyone who knows me knows that I love to listen to music. I love to sit and actually listen to vinyl sometimes, and it's just a different level of listening to music. But when it comes down to it, the reality is that when you want peaceful times and you want peaceful moments, you have to be very mindful of the things that you're listening to. So for me, when I'm feeling down, I'm feeling out, I try to make sure that I listen to music that is calming and or music that is actually uplifting. So I use music that actually reflects the mood that I want to be in. So be very mindful and careful that you take care of your emotional health by making sure that the things that you're listening to and exposing yourself to can help you to get a positive as well as an internal view on how to be well. So for me, when I'm down and out, like I said, I listen to some inspirational or some very uplifting music. But other times when I just want to be calm, I actually listen to things that might be similar to the waves or ocean or the waves in the ocean, where it might actually calm me. So something that's jazz and cool and calm can actually internalize inside me and bring me to a good place. So remember, say yes to some good music when you want to feel better and take care of yourself. All right, everyone be well.
So welcome back to Wellness and Faith with Sherry Weary. Remember that you can interact with me online with the various hashtags that we mentioned throughout the show, which is Wellness and Faith, I Am, Let's Be Real. If you hear anything to the show that sparks a question, that encourages or resonates with you, feel free to post on social media or to call in live. And at this point, we are going to go into our main topic and discussion, which at this point tonight, we're going to be talking about finding your identity in God. So when we talk about finding an identity in God, we're going to have this discussion because throughout the day, we are constantly bombarded with conflicting images and messages about what or who is a perfect man and a perfect woman. And you must be able to counteract those messages with the truth of God's word. You know, on one post you will see, you know, the models who are super thin being, you know, held as the most beautiful women. And then on another post on social media, you know, you can see images of, you know, women who are more curvier and saying, you know, curvy girls are in. And or if you look at different articles and you see different magazines and who's on the front cover and who's a man of the year and a woman of the year, it's like whatever is in at the time changes so much. From minute to minute to day, the trendy thing about who is the millennial woman or who is the millennial man, it just can always change. And so you can't really have a healthy self-image and have healthy self-esteem when you're depending on conflicting messages in order to be the foundation of that esteem. So the one thing that we can always depend on is truth, and the word of God is true, and it doesn't change. And it's always valid. It's always relevant despite where we are. It's just as relevant as it was thousands of years ago and hundreds of years ago as it is valid today. So with this week and next week, we're actually going to be talking about the different scriptures that point to who we are in God so that we can build our identity on a strong foundation so that we can withstand the conflicting images that we see throughout the day and that we may even hear from those that we interact with as well. So the first scripture that we can look to is Galatians 3:26. And it actually says that I am a child of God. I am God's child. So in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith. And so when you look at that scripture and look at what this means, it can, for in some ways, it can be a little hard to grasp to imagine yourself with being a child and God being your father. And not a child in a sense where, you know, you're 3 and 4 years old, but a child in a sense that you are valuable to God, that he cares for you as a parent who cares for their children, and they take care of their children. And so God, he makes provision for us because we are his children. And as we have faith in God, we're able to see how he provides for us. And so we are his children. You know, even when you think of, like, your earthly parents, if you have a good relationship with your parents, you know that your parents would sacrifice any and everything for your behalf. They will go without so that you can have. They will have sleepless nights so that you can rest. They will not have whatever it is that they need in order to make sure that you, as their child, is taken care of. And this is the same thing that God does for us. And even if you don't have a good relationship with your parents, or you didn't, you know, grow up in a home that was full of stability or love and support and encouragement, is that this is where I believe that having God as a father, in some ways it can either be really difficult to grasp that because you don't have a comparison or something relative to be able to say, like, okay, yeah, I understand God is my father because this is what my real dad did. But it can be so beneficial when you submit yourself and allow yourself to really see God as being that provider. Is that even if you had the experience where parents have not been there, where they haven't been in you or rejected you or just not cared for you in the most supporting way, is that that's not the type of God that God is. Does he correct? Absolutely. Does he convict us in order to, you know, make us better and to fulfill our original intent and purpose? Absolutely. But God also provides, and he cares, and he supports, and he really comforts us as well as we're going through difficult situations in our lives because he is our parent. He is our father. He is the one that we can go to in order for him to take care of our needs, and he's more than able to do it. There is no insufficiency in God, and so we can find comfort in being a child of God because God truly does care. Where we can use the, you know, really have a strong foundation of our identity, of who we are in God, is John 15:15. And from this scripture, we know that we are Jesus' friend. And that scripture says, I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends. For everything that I learned from my Father, I have been made known to you. And so when you think of this scripture and seeing that, it's like, okay, I'm a friend of God. When you think of your friends that are so dear to your heart and who you really love and you, you know, appreciate their support and how you've been through the thick and the thin with them, those are the people who you can trust, who are loyal, that you will reveal your deepest secrets to. They're the ones that who know what you look like when your hair isn't done. They know what you look like, you know, when you're bawling your eyes out. They know what you look like when you're happy, when you've met a goal or a dream of yours. They know what really moves you, what you really enjoy, what your favorite things are. And so they are privileged to the inner you. They are privileged to who you are about. They have privilege that everyone else doesn't have, like that your coworkers don't have, or, you know, those that you may even go to church with, or even some family members. You may have some friends who are closer to you than some of your family members. And so they know the private secret things that you don't broadcast to everyone else. And this is the same relationship that we also have with God as well, is that we are a friend of his. So he gives us the opportunity to be able to know the secret, deep things of him. He gives us the opportunity to be able to know his will, what his purpose is for our life, for us to know how much he loves us. He gives us the opportunity to be able to know the power that he possesses and how we are endowed with that same power as well, and we can tap in that same power in our own life and able to defeat anything in our life that is trying to hold us back and prevent us from being the people that we desire to be. Any weakness, any brokenness, anything what really holds you back, God gives us the opportunity to have access to conquer that, to be victorious, and to be able to be the champion over anything in our life that seeks to try to defeat us. So we are his friends, and so he allows us into those inner places within his will and within his love and within his knowledge so that we can be better and we can be stronger as a result. The next scripture that we can use in order to find out who we are in God and to really establish a strong identity in who we are is 2 Corinthians 5:17, which tells us that we are a new person. So it says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come, the old has gone, and the new is here. And so the awesome thing about knowing that is that despite how old or stale or embarrassing or even shameful that your past is that anything, all of that no longer matters once we are in Christ. Once you submit yourself to God's will, once you accept God to be in control of your life and to be Lord of your life, and you seek to fulfill the purpose that he has for you, then now you have a brand new start. You are absolutely brand new, and you have a chance to be able to let go of the old things that were not beneficial to you. And so it's awesome to know that we have a chance to start over again, a chance to do better, a chance to be better, to correct things that we messed up because we have given our lives to God and that we have an opportunity to be new. The next scripture is 1 Corinthians 6:19, where it says that we are actually the residents of the God of God's Spirit. And so that scripture says, do you not know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. For I am God's, and we are God's handiwork, created into Christ Jesus to do this work, which God prepared in advance for us to do. And so when you look at this scripture with 1 Corinthians 6:19, is that it's important for us to know that we are God. The sin says that you do not, that you are to know that you are the bodies or temples of the Holy Spirit. And so here it is, that God loves us so much that he desires to dwell within us. His Holy Spirit desires to find a residence within us. And so when you think about when you go house hunting, or, you know, if you're looking for an apartment or just wherever you're going to reside your head, is that there's certain amenities that you look to have. There's certain, you know, things you look about the location and, you know, is the school district, you know, decent for your children to attend? How far is it from your job? How close is it to the nearest grocery store, the post office? Is the utilities working in the house? Are the rooms spacious enough? Are they big enough to accommodate, you know, everything that I have? Are the closets big enough? You go through all of these things to make sure that the house is going to be suitable for you to be comfortable in and to reside, on top of even looking at the affordability of everything as well. And the awesome thing about us is that with God, he still seeks at the will within us even though we are not perfect. God still seeks to have his Holy Spirit to dwell within us. And the Holy Spirit, he is there in order to comfort and to guide and to instruct us. And so with our bodies being the dwelling place for the Holy Spirit, is that we should cherish our spirits. We should cherish our bodies. We should cherish the fact and make sure that we are making our spirits a habitable, comfortable place for the Holy Spirit. And the way that we do that is by just making sure that we're following the guidelines, the commandments, rather, that God has given us on how we are to live our lives. We're making sure that we love our neighbors as we love ourselves. We're making sure that we don't allow the sun to go down on our wrath. We're making sure that we forgive those who have hurt us, and make sure that we pray for our enemies, and make sure that we are reading the Word of God daily and writing it upon our heart, to make sure that we are speaking words of life and not of death. Those are the things, and so many more things that we can do to make sure that we are purifying our spirit so that the Holy Spirit, he can dwell in the residence of our spirit, and that he can be comfortable and continue to use us and to make us more into who God has called us to be. So the next scripture we can look at is 1 John 1:9. It says, I am totally and completely forgiven. And it says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. And so the awesome thing about knowing who you are in God is that, once again, you are not bound by the shame and the guilt of your past. Despite whatever mistakes you have done, despite how people talk about you or how they look at you or how they even look down on you, it doesn't matter, because at the end of the day, God has forgiven you. Now, even when being forgiven, that does not totally eradicate the consequences of those past mistakes that we may have made. There may still be some actions or, you know, some extra work you may need to do, let's say, to restore relationships if you have, you know, made mistakes that have destroyed relationship with those that you love. But at the end of the day, even with taking that extra work, it does not mean that you still are not forgiven. You are not bound to the shame and the guilt of the past just because you have to put in that additional work in order to restore that relationship with, or relationships, plural, with the person or the people that you need in order to do that. And so, one more scripture that we're actually going to look at for this week, we're talking about our identity, is Ephesians 2:10, and that says that I am God's, for we are God's handiwork. We are created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us. And so with knowing that we are God's handiwork, that means that we are his masterpiece. When you look at God and even what he did with creation, and you look at the creation story, God's intentional intentionality is so awesome that exactly what he wanted and what he spoke is what happened, is what came about. So when he talked about creating the light from the darkness, it happened. When he talked about creating the land from the sea, it happened. When he talked about, you know, creating the fishes in the sea and the animals that were walking on land, everything happened exactly how he meant it to happen. And on top of that, everything that he created has the ability to reproduce as well, and to reproduce after its own kind. So even when you look at flowers and with trees and with animals, and even with us ourselves, as men and women, that we're able to reproduce after our own kind as well. And so when you look at God's ability to create and what he creates, you can trust that it is something good and that it is something awesome. And so we are created by God, who is the master created, and we were created for awesome, wonderful, good, and great things. So this is who you are in Christ, and this is what you should spend your time in building your identity of, because you are worth something so much more than what the other conflicting messages that you may hear throughout the day. We are of God, and we can find our identity and our true purpose in what God has created us to be. So for our dose of spiritual wellness, and to recap our topic, main topic from the show, here are your doses of spiritual wellness. So first, you want to remember that you are not alone, that you are part of a spiritual family, and that you have a friend. Now, once again, this does not negate the pain of not having an earthly family. But even when those relationships are tough here on earth, you must know that you are still not alone, and that you have a spiritual family and a spiritual father who is there to care for you and to meet every single one of your needs. Number two, you are greater than the sum of your mistakes. This is actually the tagline for my business that I use, that I do with Wary Consultation. And I really want to make sure that people really understand that even though there may be consequences to your mistakes do not define who you are. You are still great. There is still purpose within you. You still have the ability to do something awesome and wonderful, and you have something to offer and contribute to the world. And God sees that. God sees your purpose despite your past. And you are not bound to your past, and you are free to start anew. Thirdly, you are the residence of God. So not only does he desire to reside inside of you, but he also desires for you to use his power as well. And so with him residing within us, that means that we also have his power as well. Fourthly, you are a masterpiece. You are invaluable. You are worthy, and you are precious. And there is nothing that anyone or anything in this world can do about that. Number five, you are not obligated to live in shame and guilt. Yes, there may be consequences, and yes, there are things you may need to do differently in order to correct or try to restore whatever has happened as a result of your mistakes, but you are not bound to your guilt and your shame, even with taking that extra work in order to restore different relationships or even to restore your own life and to get back on track. So that is our show for this evening. As always, I have enjoyed being with each and every one of you, and I definitely look forward to speaking with you next Monday night at 7 p.m. You can always catch the replays of our show at blogtalkradio.com/rswellness, and you can always go back and listen to other shows. If there's a show you really enjoyed, you can always go back and even share it with friends or families as well. Remember that you can connect with me after the show on social media with the hashtags I am or wellness and faith or any other hashtag that you come up with. Just be sure to tag me at Weary Consult, and you can do this on Twitter, on Facebook, and on Instagram. I'm also on Periscope as well, so make sure you follow me to get the latest broadcasts from me. In order to know all things Sherry Weary, you want to go to my website, sherryweary.com, and be sure to check out my blogs that are located at radiantsunshine.org. Besides the blogs that I published there, my most recent blogs is titled I Am and What Are You Feeding Your Soul, you can find tons of helpful wellness tips there from Sharia Farmer as well. You want to make sure that you tune in Sharia's show tomorrow at 12 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for the lunch date, a social wellness break, where Sharia actually gives tips on having healthy relationships. Lastly, my first novel, which I am so excited about, titled Walking Through the Pain, is now available for pre-order on my website at sherryweary.com. So if you want to get a copy or be one of the first people to receive a copy of the book, you want to go to my website to purchase that at sherryweary.com. Please allow 2 to 4 weeks for delivery. And in order to get all the latest news about my book, you want to go and check out the website periodically. So once again, I enjoyed being with you guys. I hope you have an awesome week. And as always, my prayer is that you will be well, you will be whole, and that you will be set free.